This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Hallelujah. I just want everyone to take a moment and just close your eyes for a second. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that even in this moment, you will begin to bring to the memory of your sons and daughters that area, that one thing where they question you, that area where they wonder that, Lord, I know you love me. I know you're a good God. I've encountered you. I don't question your reality, but I do question if you will get me out of this. I have questions about this trial I'm in because I hear the preacher always say, joy comes in the morning, but it feels like I've been in nighttime for too long. And I want you to just envision that thing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what is being brought up in the memories of your people. The thing that sometimes they want to conceal and hide and run from. But Lord, in your presence, there is freedom. There is freedom even from the lies of Satan to make your children believe that God, you will not show up for them. There is freedom for them to know that we serve a God that will not fail us. That Lord, you have a promise that you have given to each and every one of them that never will you leave nor forsake them. I pray, Heavenly Father, that in this moment you would also reveal what is at the root of their fear. Not just the concern of God, are you going to show up for me? But what is at the root of it? Thank you, Lord. Is it the opinions of others? Is it what science says concerning their bodies? What is at the root of their fear? And Lord, may you reveal yourself that you are greater than that. May you reveal yourself that you have a name that is above every name that we can give to an issue. May you reveal yourself that you are with your people. And I pray that this will be written in their hearts and minds, that Christ, you are indeed our firm foundation. You are the rock on which we stand. When everything around us is shaken, this is a prayer, oh God. That Lord, even then we find joy. Because our joy is not connected to the things that are happening around us. Our joy is rooted in the knowledge of our God. And we recognize that no matter what comes, no matter the rain, no matter the wind, our eyes are stayed on you. And when our eyes are stayed on you, you reveal yourself as the God of possibilities in the place of impossibility. So I thank you, Lord, that every weight, every burden that your children walked in here with, they're laying it down right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Heavenly Father, have your way. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus today. And I thank you, Lord, that not only are your children walking out of here, all those that are watching in our global family, not only would they leave this moment feeling lighter, but Lord, they would be equipped with truth. In the name of Jesus. Truth that would be an anchor no matter what comes. Amen. Amen, family. Amen. You may be seated. Man, I'm excited for what God wants to do today. Full transparency, I think today, leading up to today, has been one of the hardest journeys I've ever experienced to deliver a word, and I will share more about it as we go. But I know it's also connected to the word that the Lord gave. Because when I tell you, child, I said, Lord, I think somebody else can preach on Sunday. You know? And when I was just coming before the Lord with the weight of what I was experiencing, and the moment I asked him, I said, God, you know, is there somebody else? And the Lord said, no, I want you to go. And in that moment, he began to download the instruction and the assignment for this day. And I just understood how it's all connected. You see, in life, sometimes you're experiencing something and you have no idea, no clue. You see, a lot of times we want God to bless us with, you know, things that we can shout about, you know, things that we can get our praise on about. But, you know, what I've also learned in life is that sometimes God also trusts you with burdens. God will trust you with a problem. God, because it's not, and we miss it when we think and we're like, God, but I'm your servant. Like, why is this happening? And it's just like, remember when, if you've read this scripture, there was a man who was born blind. And the disciples were with Jesus and they see this man. And they literally asked the Lord, they said, who sinned? Him or his parents? And Jesus is like, nope, nobody sinned. But this is unto the glory of God. You see, sometimes you have to recognize that some things you go through is because how God wants to express his glory through you. So as much as we shout for the amazing things and the blessings, recognize that burdens are also blessings. And it's hard to shout, you know, in the wilderness, but you just gotta, you know, do something, child. Just, you know, whisper. But I want us to go to Ephesians 4:1. You know, we got into this year with just the revelation of the Lord about how this is the year of equipping. And when the Lord just began to download this, you know, Ephesians 4:1 says this. It says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. There is so much in this, and that's going to be the key scripture, you know, for today. The Bible literally says that the person speaking is the Apostle Paul, right? He starts off by saying, therefore I, a prisoner of the Lord. And in that, there is so much. You see, because when Paul was writing the book of Ephesians, you know, in the time he was writing it, he was really just writing a letter to the churches of Ephesus. Right, he had no clue that his writings and his words would actually be put together in what we know as the Bible. And so Paul is in prison. He was under house arrest at the time in Rome. So there's a guard, there's a soldier that keeps guard over his house. And, you know, he can't just move around freely. But the crazy thing is that in the Bible, it tells us that Paul was preaching the word of God with all boldness and without hindrance. And I was so like amazed by that because as a prisoner, he was literally a prisoner in Rome. As a prisoner, it gives us the understanding that he is hindered. But then in his calling and in his assignment, he is unhindered. So regardless of him being hindered in the eyes of man, Paul knew that, look, in the thing that God has called me to do, I can't be bound. You see, Paul called himself a prisoner of the Lord. And what I love about that is that he recognized that my boundaries, my limitations are not set by man. They are set by God. And when you tap into this mindset that, God, I am a prisoner of you. I am not a prisoner of my limitations. I'm not a prisoner of self. You see, sometimes we have to really look at our lives because what we live by reveals who are we a prisoner of. Am I a prisoner of comfort? Am I a prisoner of desires and pleasures? Am I a prisoner of self? Am I a prisoner of validation and applause? Or am I a prisoner of the Lord? And how you recognize where you stand is where you find your strength in. Because if you're a prisoner of comfort, you find strength in comfortable situations. And so when life begins to shake up your comfort zone, you lose your mind. Right? It's what happened in the pandemic. You had Christians, you know, crying. They said, look, the Lord is coming back. This is the end times. I said, child, we've been in the end times. People were freaking out because their comfort was shaking. And what they didn't realize was your strength was your comfort. That all along you have been a prisoner of comfort. You're a prisoner of pleasures and desires. And so when you don't get that what you want, you lose it. And you're just like, God, you have forsaken me. Are you a prisoner of self? Do you only do the things that build you up? Do you only do the things that speak to you? It's you, 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 you. It's where we find ourselves in culture right now. Do you, boo, right? And so when you don't find something, when something is not appealing to you, you're like, yeah, you know, God is not in that. I was having a conversation with one of my best friends, and we were talking about this scripture that really shaped my life in ministry. And it's in the book of Psalms. And the scripture literally talks about who will dwell on the Lord's holy hill. Right? Who would dwell in this place of close intimacy and proximity, this sacred place with the Lord? And it begins to list out the characteristics of this individual. And one of the things that it says, it is that he who will swear to his own hurt and not change. And what that means is that I can commit myself to do something, and I realize in the process, this actually doesn't serve me. Actually, it might be hurting me in the process, but I don't change my commitment. This is someone who is not a prisoner of self. That the moment I feel like, man, me working here, me serving here, it's a little draining. Before I make a decision based on how I feel emotionally, I seek the Holy Spirit. I'm not led by how I feel. I'm not led by what I think is serving me or not serving me. I say, God, would you still want me to be here? Do you still have a purpose for me here? And whatever the Lord says is how I move. Or are you a prisoner of the Lord? You see, when you're a prisoner of the Lord, you find your strength in God. When you're a prisoner of the Lord, you have mental fortitude. You're not easily shaken up by life because you recognize that, God, no, you are with me. And a prisoner of the Lord is one who is a prisoner to the Lord's will, his desires, and his purposes. That, God, if you, I need to know what is your will in this matter. It's not just about what I will to do or what I desire to do. And I recognize that in order for me to release this message, because this was not even, I had not received what the word is, because every time that I know that, you know, that there's an opportunity to bring the word of God, I'm always asking God, what is it that you want your people to know? And as every time I kept asking, he never released it to me until I came to the place and I said, God, I don't know if I have it in me. You see, because recently I experienced an amount of physical pain that I've never experienced in my life. And we had to go to the ER to figure out, like, what is going on? And I thank God, you know, everything is fine. And it's something that I just had to, you know, they were literally just, you got to walk it out. And I was just like, God, like, I can't even express how excruciating this pain was in my body. And when I asked the Lord and I said, God, I don't think I have it in me. Because it's hard to even concentrate. And I said, God, but what would you want me to do? And he said, I want you to show up. Because you have to know that when your boundaries are me, then even your body cannot stop what I have called you to do. And the Lord began to speak to me that you're speaking to a room of people, and you're speaking to, and when I say room, it's not limited to this building. You see, that we are in a season that it's not just about what you do within your comfort zone. There are things that you will learn, you need to learn in life how to push back. Because it's not about what your body is saying or what the people are saying. It's about what did God say. And many times we find excuses as to why we should not do what God said we should do, as though God was ignorant when he spoke it to you in the first place. And I had to experience the Lord. I said, God, you're speaking to me. Why won't you take this pain away? And he said, my daughter, I am the God that is with you on the mountains and in the valleys. I would walk this thing out with you. I had to study in pain. I had to pray in pain. Because I said, God, you will show up. And I recognized that there are people that will listen to this message. And you have to realize that there is something on the other side of your obedience in pain. Amen. That it is not just about you finding an excuse to say, well, God, you know, you should understand. But there is a breakthrough that is unlocked when you move in obedience, even while you are in discomfort. You see, the Lord said to me, he said, you will show up. And when I submitted to that, I had no clue how I would feel today. I'm saying that even as early as yesterday, this was still going on. Wow. And I said, God, but I will show up where you sent me. And this morning, even though there was concerns, I'm like, God, even if I got to sit down, we are going to deliver this word. But this morning, I realized the God that shows up as you go. Because when I woke up this morning, I was looking for the pain. I said, hold up now. Girl, you could bend. I said, you know, sometimes you don't want to push it. I said, whoo. And when I began to search for the pain, the Lord began to show me that in your commitment, regardless of what it costs you, that there is a miracle that shows up as you go. You see, I want to speak to a room of people that would be committed to God and the assignment of God on your life, regardless of what shows up on the way. Because you know who actually shows up that you need to see? It's Jesus. There's a lot of things that Satan does to distract you. But there is something about the Lord that you would recognize in scriptures. Some of the most powerful miracles happened on the way. The woman with the issue of blood, Jesus was on the way. And they happened to encounter each other. When you read about some of the most profound things that happen in the Bible, it happened on the way. And you have to recognize that no matter what is going on in my life, I might be depressed, but I'm going. I might be anxious, but God, I'm going. I might be fearful, but God, I'm going. My body might be shutting down, but God, I am doing the thing you said. I might be losing my mind, but God, I'm going to keep writing the book. I'm going to keep working on the business plan, because there is a God that shows up when you're on the way. And this is why Paul, before he would even say, talk to the people about working worthy of the call, he begins by his own testimony. He announces his title. He said, look, I'm not speaking to you from a place of what I have not lived. He said, I am a living testimony of what I'm about to express to you. He said, I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling which you have been called. We will not be a generation that is timid. We will not be a generation that when the enemy pushes, you just receive it. You're going to be a generation that knows how to push back. You see, Paul sets up the scriptures. Literally, this is Ephesians 4 we're reading from. But Ephesians 1, 2, 3, Paul lays a foundation for the people. And he literally begins to show them who they are in their identity, in their authority, and in their calling in God. He lays a foundation because Paul is not trying to speak to them from a place of works. He's not trying to tell them, hey, walk worthy because you're going to get brownie points with God. He says, walk worthy because of who you are. There is too much on your life. There is too much that has been sacrificed for you to be here. So he lays this foundation and then he picks it up by saying, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk worthy. I love this word, walk worthy, because when I began to study it, it gave this understanding of having equal weight to something else. And what I understood by that is that to walk worthy is to walk in a way that is consistent to what God knows about you. It is having an equal weight to the truth of your existence. You see, the Bible says, the Lord said to Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. And so when Paul is saying, hey, walk worthy, he said, don't walk in the weight of your flesh that is beneath you. Don't walk in the weight of distractions that is beneath you. Walk in the weight of your identity and your authority in God. He says, if you really know who you are, then walking worthy would be the natural response of your life. Because you see, when Paul even starts off, I can't get off this prisoner of the Lord, because being a prisoner of the Lord, it's also the embrace of the journey of dying to self. And many times in faith, when we hear that phrase, dying to self, we feel as though God wants us to kill a part of who we are. No, God wants you to kill the you that is beneath you. Because the flesh and the spirit war against each other. What the flesh desires is not what the spirit desires. But your life is not in the flesh, your life is in the spirit. And then you may wonder, but then why did God have to put us in this war? Because that is where free will shows up. When you have the understanding of two desires, then free will, your free will is what shows up there. You choose to surrender to what God knows about you. And not what culture, community, family, society has shaped you to believe you are. But you said, no, I'm a kingdom kid. And that is why walking worthy also gives us this understanding of the daily decision to die to the version that is beneath you. It is not something you have to struggle with. It is beneath you. The things that we're wondering, like, man, you know, I just want to have fun and party. If you know who you really are, if you recognize that you, the real you, the threat the real you carries every day you wake up, if you recognize the force you are on earth, you will not waste your time with things that are beneath you. You see, sometimes we find ourselves so caught up in situationships and all kinds of things because you just haven't met you yet. You find yourself caught up with moral decisions and things in life because you haven't met you yet. Do you recognize that Satan was terrified about Jesus, not as an adult, not just as an adult, but as a baby? That baby Jesus, and he had the same experience as we did. He cried, he pooped, right? He peed, somebody had to clean up. That baby Jesus was a threat to the enemy's kingdom, to the point that he actually influenced a leader of the time to wipe out every child under the age of 2 years old, because he had no clue. At what point did this child come in? Do you recognize that? That is why the Bible talks about even the cry, the strength in the cry of a newborn. Because who you are, when you recognize who you are, Satan, the demons are terrified by the real you. And we're only engaging in foolishness because we haven't embraced what God really knows about us. This is the reason why for many of us in childhood, we experience so much trauma. Because what that trauma does is that it bonds us in shame. And where there is shame, you can't receive authenticity. So you go through this trauma that you feel you need to hide. But while you're hiding it, you're also closing the ability to receive truth about you. And then trauma begins to shape your life and your decisions, and you find yourself caught up in all kinds of nonsense. And then you start asking yourself, but how could God use me? And God is like, I already chose you before the foundation of this world.
Right.
Whatever you found yourself caught up in does not change my mind about you. You see, that God does not speak to you from sight. He speaks to you from revelation. And that is why even the word of God tells us to walk by faith and not by sight, because we are walking like our Father. He doesn't function from a sight perspective, from a sight realm. He sees you according to what he said about you. That is why if you ever study in the Bible a man named Gideon, Gideon, literally an angel encounters him. And when the angel encounters him, Gideon was hiding in fear because of what was happening in the land at that time. But the angel did not call him according to his position. The angel called him according to his identity. He looked at him and said, "Mighty man of valor." He called him a warrior. Warriors don't hide in fear. But the angel called out of him what has always been there. And I am believing that the Lord is going to begin to call out of you what has always been there.
Amen.
That you're not going to live a lie. You're not going to live in the version that is beneath you. You're not going to keep entertaining and struggling with vices that are beneath the real you. This is the enemy's way to keep you distracted to discovering truth. But you're going to walk out this life in the reality of who God says you are. And so there are a few things I want to share with you that the Lord put on my heart when it comes to walking worthy. The first thing is that to walk worthy is to walk by faith. Let's go to Colossians 1:10. It says this, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, when it talks about how you would, to walk worthy of the Lord is to fully please him. The Bible tells us that without faith is impossible to please God. Because with faith, not only are you fruitful because you're in the thing that God called you to do, but even when you walk by faith, you also grow in the knowledge of God. Because there is nothing that builds intimacy like surrender and submission. And when you walk by faith, you're walking a life of that, you're walking out a surrendered life and a life that is submitted to the Lord. And so just the urge to recognize, like, look, we don't walk according to what we know about life or what we see about life, but we walk according to the question of what did God say? What did God say about my life in this season? What did God call me to do in this season? What are the things he called me to execute? It's not about what's in your bank account. It's not about the relationships you know. It's not about where you stay or, you know, or maybe not, you may not even have a place. And in your car, the Lord is telling you to write this, work on this business plan. You don't walk by sight. You walk by faith. And when you do that, there is a level of intimacy that you grow with God and you begin to see the hand of God over your life, right? You know, even the fact of saying yes to the Lord that I will show up today, that was a walk by faith. I had no clue what today would look like. I had no clue if I would need a chair or what, how this was going to happen, right? But at the end of the day, you say, you know what, Lord, what did you say? And that is what I'm going to walk out. Number two, we walk in truth, right? Ephesians 5, 8 to 9. It says this, for you were once darkness, but now you are the light in God. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, right? You see, walking in light is to walk in truth. And especially in the times that we are in, it is so critical for you to have a personal and intimate relationship with God for yourself. Coming to church is amazing. Being a part of community groups is amazing. But these are to sharpen and develop you, but they're not the foundation of your faith. You don't build, your faith is not founded on a church. It's not founded in groups, right? It's founded on your personal and experiential encounters with God. That is what shapes your life. That is what molds your life. It's not just about what somebody else said. It's like, no, God, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. The Lord is talking to me. The Lord is shaping me. You have to have a personal relationship with God for yourself. Because you see, the one thing, the Bible talks about how in the last days, which we are already in, right? That how people would become seekers of the truth that entices them. The truth that is connected to what they desire. And it's not unbelievers. They're speaking to believers. But you know how this happens is when you don't know truth for yourself. So whatever you desire, and there is a teacher who is in error speaking that truth, you're like, oh yeah, that's it right there. You know, religious people might hate me for this, but recently someone had told me, and I don't know what was all involved in this, but they literally told me that they had paid money to within a church to get married this year. I said, the first thing I said was, in America? Now, I'm from Nigeria, so I've heard all kinds of stories. But in America? People did what? And this is a strong Christian who said, hey, you know, was so excited that they are definitely getting married this year. And I was just tapped into the conversation. I said, oh, wow, that's amazing. I said, did God give you a word? You know, did you see something? You know, have you met somebody? Praise the Lord, you know. And they said, no, I sowed a seed of marriage that is happening this year. And I was, I could not believe my ears. And it was shaped in a way that she just believed. Oh, that was the word of the Lord. And I said to her, I said, do you know that in the Bible, there was someone who tried to buy the anointing? And what he received was a curse. Because you cannot, you cannot buy. Even the context of sowing and all of that, that just has to do with heart posture. You can't, the things of God are not transactional, because you cannot buy yourself into a season that God did not ordain. Because if the Lord has not set, this is the practice. This is what people do at, you know, the palm readers, the crystal. This is the practice of the demonic. That, hey, you bring some money and we will give you a love spell. I said, this is not, how is this in the church? And when we started talking, it's like her eyes opened. I said, but no, let me give you scriptures to read for yourself. So you're not just bouncing from one teaching to another. Actually know the word of God for yourself. This is not a transactional thing. And in the moment, the Holy Spirit just gave me this understanding. And I told her, I said, what you bought was not an open season. What you bought was the legal rights to be deceived. That you will be blinded in a relationship that is not for you and have no conviction. Because you're so eager for something that the counterfeit will look like the promise. You got to know God for yourself. We have to be a generation that is not only built up by what we hear from other people. But when you receive a word, even here, when you, this teaching, when you listen to it, when you read, you hear the scriptures, you write it down, and you go back in your intimate place. God, let me go back. Walk worthy, child. Let me hear what the preacher said. Let me read the scriptures for myself. Let me hear how it speaks to me. Because I may say something and the Holy Spirit gives you more. You have to build up truth for yourself, because if not, the enemy will go to the depth of your desires and deceive you and mimic the voice of God concerning it. And as a believer, you begin to walk astray. But when you know that the voice of God is one, the voice of God, what is in his word and how he speaks, they don't contradict each other. When you read and study about the nature of God, you will know how to decipher who said that. You will know how to decipher, wait, where is this coming from? That does not sound like my father. Because I tell you, the voice of your emotions is the closest thing to mimic what you know as the voice of God. And so you have to now pause and say, look, wait, what does the word say about this? And that is why even confirmations are necessary. That is why even in the Bible, you see that God encourages confirmation. Just don't overdo it, right? But God encourages it because he doesn't want you to miss him. That is the reason that sometimes your dreams are stories. Your dreams, you might be asking God, like, God, tell me if I need a just yes or no. Yes or no, please, as I go to bed. Give me a yes or no. And then God gives you a dream that is a story. Because what he's doing is that he's hiding the answer in the story. Because if you just had a dream that was so clear cut about what you should do, then you now have to first decipher who sent this dream. Is this dream manufactured from my own desires or emotions? Or did it come from God? So in God's goodness towards your life, he begins to seal the answer in a story. Then you have a dream that feels like a movie. And then you're like, oh my gosh, what did I dream about? Yeah. Write it down. Yeah. And take time with it, with the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden you start decoding it and you're like, oh my gosh, this is what the Lord wants me to do. Because he loves you too much to have you miss it. But as you grow in intimacy with the Lord, how you hear the voice of God is sharpened. But you have to walk in truth in order to walk worthy. Because if you don't walk in truth, then the enemy can get you off your game, right? But in number three, walk in love. Ephesians 5:2, it says this, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You know, there's a very popular scripture that I believe everyone should take some time to meditate on. It is 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, and it's the scripture that talks about love, right? It says love is patient, love is kind, it does not boast, you know, all these things. But take some time, write that down for yourself. And begin to meditate on how am I living my life? Is it according to what the Word of God says about love? How am I walking this out? Am I patient with myself in order for me to be patient with others, right? You know, walk in love. One of the things that trips us up all the time is offense. And you have to be so quick to forgive. Because many times you would recognize that a lot of the moments that offended you had to do with your perspective about the issue. Not just that someone, you know, went out of their way to do X, Y, and Z. A lot of times offense has to do with perspective. And it's the narrative we create in our head that builds that pride against our own thoughts about the person. Like, oh yes, I always knew. And you don't realize that offense is what is destroying divine relationships that God placed in your life. Look, we are humans. You know, I remember hearing the late Billy Graham say something I love so much. And he said, he was talking about people who were like, man, I just want to find a perfect church. The church is so broken and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? And he said, if you found a perfect church, the moment you joined it, it became imperfect. And I love that so much because you got to give grace to people. You are not easy to deal with. Have you met you sometimes? You are not an easy person. So that other human being, come on now. The important thing to know in life is who did God place in your life. That's what's important, because when you recognize the people in your life that were positioned by God, you cultivate patience for them, cultivate grace for them. Look at Jesus. Okay, he had 12 crazy disciples. Child, one of them even betrayed him. And that did not change his love for him. Peter was cutting people's ears and whatnot, had anger issues. Right? Even when you think about outside of that, look at the people God used. Elijah, the Bible actually calls Elijah to be a man who had a bad temper. But then Elisha had to serve under that. Elisha had to serve under a leader that had shaky temper. Because you recognize, like, look, it's not about, I'm not looking at your humanity. I'm going to have grace for that. I'm going to have patience for that. What I need to know is who sent you. Because if God placed you in my life, I'm not going to allow offense or these little trivial things to break what God connected. And so what I want to charge you is think the highest thought. No matter what is going on, don't get into this narrative of, oh, this is why they did that, and that is why they looked the other way when they saw me. Child, the person might be stretching their neck, you know? It could be so many things. They did not hug me. They may have not even taken a shower. I hope not. But I'm just saying, family, think the highest thought about people. And be actually quick to confront things. Not confronting it from a negative place, but from a place of information. Right? Hey, man, you know, yesterday this happened. I just want to know, like, why did you do that? Or where did that come from? Right? Just be a clear person in life. If something bothers you enough that your mind wants to create a negative story about an individual, why not just reach out to them? And say, hey, friend, look, man, there was something that happened and it rubbed my heart the wrong way. And I just really want to present it to you like, hey, are we good? And give them the opportunity to express and believe them. Because that's the other problem. Somebody speaking truth to you, and you're like, I know you lying with your teeth. No, just listen and give them the opportunity to say, hey, maybe I'm wrong. Because what makes you want to be right is pride.
That's good.
It's your pride and your ego that doesn't want to just say, oh man, I saw this. I didn't see this well, right? Because the temptation that we often fall into is that when someone hurts you, you put Jesus on it. I knew the Lord had been showing me this person, child. And so you don't want to be wrong because that means your discernment was wrong. But you have to learn how to humble yourself and say, like, hey, God, let me just bring this to this person. That's why the Bible even says that before you bring an offering to the Lord, if you have a problem with your brother, leave the altar. The Lord says, don't even give me what you got. Leave the altar and go and fix that thing. Because I'm not going to build you in deception. Your heart is your treasure. Don't allow the enemy to corrupt it, right? And the last thing, family, is walk in the newness of life. Romans 6:4, it says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And what I love so much about this, you see, when you give your life to Jesus, it doesn't really mean that everything that you struggled with or your bondage, everything broke immediately, right? But what happens is, as you cultivate intimacy with the Lord, because you see, many times the things we struggle with is because we struggle with it with our fists closed. We don't open our arms to receive the grace of God, and the grace of God is his equipping power for you to live beyond your limitations, right? It's God's equipping power to live according to who he has called you to be. But what happens is that even though we say yes to Jesus because we encounter him, we can't deny what we experienced in God, but you still love your bondage more than you love him. Right? It's not just a thing of like, man, God just set me free, and it's like a religious prayer. The reality many times is that we are more in love with our bondage than we love Jesus. But here's the good news. As you walk out your faith, as you walk out life with God, as you're intentional about building intimacy with the Lord, when you see him, you cannot not love him. The more you experience God, the more he naturally has your heart. And as he does so, you will now begin to love him more than you love that bondage. And in that process, even though you're like, God, I'm yours, it takes a journey for you to slowly open your hands to say, God, take this away from me. Right? I encountered the Lord at 9, but I wasn't set free from the things that I got tripped up on until my teenage years. Because it was when I recognized that there were things I loved more than him, right? I loved partying more than him. I loved drinking more than him at that time because I was the, you know, a little crazy back then. And I was like, no, I want to be on the DJ booth, you know? Pouring drinks everywhere, right? Some people in this room were with me back then, and now we just say praise the Lord. But when I recognized... oh, child. When I recognized the unfailing love of God, when I recognized that, man, God, you just be rolling with me in foolishness. There was a love for God that cultivated in such an intimate way that I was like, I don't want to do this no more. I want to live for you. And my experience was not that I was like, oh, God, I want to live for you, then I'm going back. No, no, no. Me going back has to do with my heart. When we run back to our bondage, whether that bondage is a relationship, it is a vice, whatever it is, whatever drugs, anything that bondage could represent, when you run back, it's because it has your heart more than God has your heart. But what I want to encourage you is that If you know that there is something you currently love more than God that is keeping you bound, then open your heart more to relationship with God. Not just more to church, not just more to groups, but more to intimacy with God. Because when you see Him, His love transforms your life. And His love causes this real desire to say, God, I want to live for you. Everything in my life, I want it to glorify you. And that causes you to receive the grace that equips you for what is ahead. Family, stand with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's something I want to do very quickly. The Lord showed me this morning, and I just needed to release a prayer before we go any further. But if you're in this room and you are not born in the United States, or you are a second generation American, just raise your hands really quickly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to say a prayer for you. The Lord showed me that there are some people that you're going to receive a direction concerning where you come from, where you were born, or where your family is from, right? And you're going to have, not only would you have authority where He has placed you, but you're going to have authority in that country. And there are things that you're going to begin to build and cultivate for the kingdom of God. And I needed to release a prayer over you for you to recognize that when those instructions come, it's not random, to not be worried or afraid of like, God, listen, I don't know what you're talking about. No, but you have been equipped for this. You are ready for it. The Lord told me to tell you that you were not born where you were born because of an accident. Your parents did not come from where they came from because of an error. Everything was intentional in God's plans concerning your life. So just keep your hands lifted up, and we're going to pray for you as a house. Heavenly Father, I thank you for those that you told me to release this prayer over. Lord Jesus, I thank you that as you're calling them to other countries, to do work in other countries, to establish your kingdom in these countries, that Lord, you would be with them. You would equip them. Your favor would go with them. There would be a grace that they would not even understand, oh God. Lord, they would have favor even with government in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that they will not see themselves as less than, but they will see themselves according to who you see them, oh God. That they would recognize that they are a force on the earth. And whatever you send them, oh God, that there the authority of heaven would back them up. And so, Lord, have your way in Jesus' mighty name. That when that season comes upon their life, that you would instruct them to begin to build things in these nations. That, Lord, they will see your favor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Now, family, I just want each and every one of us to just lift up our hands before the Lord, and we are going to pray. Lord God, I thank you for this word. Lord, corporately, we come before you, and we say, Lord Jesus, that we are going to walk worthy of this calling. That, Lord, before we were placed in our mother's womb, you knew us. And there was something so powerful and so great that has always been assigned to our lives, oh Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that we would work worthy of it. We would walk according to the weight of what you've known about us. We would not live beneath who we actually are, but we would live according to the truth of who you say we are. We are not our past, we are not our mistakes, we are not our foolishness, but we are who God says we are. And so I thank you, oh God, that every moment your children wakes up in the morning, that they would know the force of heaven has woken up on this earth, that the strategy of God is alive and well on this earth, that they will begin to ask, oh God, where shall I go and what would you have me do? That they will begin to recognize the power of partnership with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, no matter how they go, may they have the confidence that you would meet them on the way. Whether they go in fear, they go in doubt, they go in anxiety, they go depressed, but they are going. I rebuke every form of stagnancy in their lives in the name of Jesus. But as they go, Lord, may you encounter them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Can we just lift up a praise to Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, finally, if you're in this house and you want to give your life to Jesus, just lift up your hand. You feel his presence. You sense him so clearly. And you want to do life with him. You don't want to keep doing life according to your own wisdom and your own strength. But you want to be a prisoner of the Lord. You recognize that you've been living life for self, for comfort, for desires, and for all this stuff. But you're like, God, there's something you know about me. You see, for some of you, you literally during the message, you felt this burning sensation on your heart. And that is the Lord knocking on your heart. So if you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus, just lift up your hands right now. Thank you, Lord. We see you. We see you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And to our global family, just put in the chat right here. Right here. Thank you, Lord. Now, family, let's all pray this together. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and make my heart your home. I recognize that on the cross, you died for my sins. And when you were raised up in victory and power, that I was raised up too. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Family, can we praise God for what is taking place in this house? Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank
you. Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.